It said, this time as the shadow of evil seems to hang over our nation, that we as a church and as those that believe in Christ need to call upon the Lord for revival. We need the power of God. We cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own minds and in our own ways. We need the power of God to be able to withstand this absolute wave of evil across the world and even in our own nations. We need to call upon the Lord for revival. So my sermon's called 10 Steps to Revival. Psalm 85 verse 6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? What is revival? Revivals are a sovereign move of God, initiated by the Holy Spirit, working through consecrated men and women. Revivals are not churches filled with people, but with people filled with God. We need the power of God. In the book of Acts, it says that in Acts 17 verse 6, that these Christians who have turned the world upside down have come here also. In fact, revival turned things the right side up, restored relationships, transformed communities, drunkards made sober, thieves returning stolen goods, blasphemers sanctified, marriages healed, estranged children and parents reconciled, the selfish becoming sacrificial, conversions, miracles, healings, revived churches, revitalized prayer meetings, dynamic worship, decisive action to seek first the kingdom of God, as written in Matthew 6:33. Where there are recorded revivals even in the Bible. In the Bible we read that King Asa expelled all perverts from the land and got rid of all the idols in 1 Kings 15:12. He sent his soldiers out and enforced God's law. King Jehu demolished the idols and tore down the temple of Baal, turning it into a rubbish dump in 2 Kings 10:27. Under King Jehoiada, all the people of the land tore down the temple of Baal, smashed its altars upon which babies were sacrificed, and destroyed idols in 2 Kings 11:18. King Josiah ordered all the idols and superstitious trappings of Baal and Asherah to be removed from the temple of the Lord. He burnt these idols in the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem in 2 Kings 23:4. King Jehoshaphat rid the land of pornographic Asherah poles and set his heart on seeking God. 2 Chronicles 19:3. Under King Hezekiah, the Israelites smashed the idols of Baal and Asherah, destroyed the high places and the altars used for child sacrifice. In 2 Chronicles 31:1. King Manasseh removed idols and images from the temple of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 33:15. Under the prophet Ezra, the people of God were challenged to reform their marriages, reject intermarriage with the nations around them in Ezra 10:33. Nehemiah restored the honoring of the Sabbath day to Jerusalem by ordering the gates to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath was over. He stationed his men at his gates to ensure that the Sabbath was not desecrated. Nehemiah 13:19. When the Lord Jesus entered the temple area, he made a whip and drove out all the corrupt moneylenders who were turning the house of God into a den of thieves. Matthew 21:12 and John 2:15. What hinders revival? When one reads of the bold Christianity of the book of Acts and of revival in the times of Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield and Andrew Murray, the question arises, what is hindering revival in our times? Prayerlessness. Neglect of the word of God, worldliness, selfishness, pride, gossip, slander, gluttony, lust, passivity, neutrality, inactivity, sitting on the fence, lukewarmness, half-heartedness, indecisiveness, cowardice, compromise. These and so many other evidence of the lack of the fear of God quench the Holy Spirit. Grieve the precious Holy Spirit and resist the Holy Spirit. There are so many distractions, deviations and delusions which are ensnaring and enslaving the people of God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When is a revival of religion needed? Number one, where there is a want of brotherly love and Christian confidence amongst professors of religion, then revival is needed. then there is a loud call for God to revive His work. When Christians have sunk down into a low and backslidden state, they neither have nor can have the same love and confidence towards each other as when they are still alive and active and living holy lives. Revival is needed. When there are dissensions and jealousies and evil speakings amongst professors of religion, then there is a great need of a revival. These things show that Christians have got far from God, and it's time to think earnestly and pray earnestly for a revival. Religion cannot prosper with such things in the church, and nothing can put an end to them like a godly revival. When there is a worldly spirit in the church, number three, it is manifest that the church has sunk down into a low and backslidden state. And when you see Christians conform to the world in dress and in parties and in seeking worldly amusements and reading worldly novels and other books such as the world reads, it shows they are far from God and it is a great need for a revival of religion. Four, when the church finds its members falling into gross and scandalous sins, it's time to awake and cry to God for a revival of religion. When such things are taking place that give the enemies of religion an occasion for reproach, it's time to ask God, what will become of your great name? Five, when there's a spirit of controversy in the church or in the land, a revival is needed. The spirit of religion is not the spirit of controversy. There can be no prosperity in religion where the spirit of controversy prevails. Number six, when the wicked triumph over the churches and they revile them publicly, it is time to seek for a revival of religion. Lord, pour out your spirit on this land. Number seven, when sinners are careless and stupid, it is time for Christians to bestir themselves. It is as much their duty to awake as it is for a fireman to do so when a fire breaks out in the night in a great city. The church ought to put out the fires of hell which are laying hold of the wicked and in our cities. Sleep. Should the firemen sleep and let the whole city burn down, what should be thought of such firemen? And yet their guilt would not compare to the guilt of Christians who sleep while sinners around are sinking stupidly and terribly into the fires of hell. What can we do to work for revival? What can we do about it? Number one. Full surrender. You cannot expect maximum blessing from a minimum commitment. It is said that part-time Christians cannot defeat full-time devils. We've got to be sold out. Wholehearted surrender to God is essential. What you surrender to God, He accepts. What He accepts, He cleanses. What He cleanses, He fills. And what He fills, He uses. We must be determined not to settle for less than God's best. Good can be the enemy of best. We have to relinquish the second-rate things that fill our heart, hands, and minds so that we can receive God's best. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We need to hunger for reality, rejecting cheap grace and easy believism. If we want spiritual revival, then we need to reject sensational, superficial, and emotionalism as fake. Do not settle for anything less than God's best. Psalm 80:7. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. Number two, destroy idols. A study of revivals in the Bible and in history revealed that all revivals begin with a deeper appreciation for the holiness of God and a realization of how offensive our sin must be in the sight of a holy God. Are there any CDs or DVDs that you need to break up and throw away? Are there publications that you need to tear up and burn? Are there subscriptions and channels that you need to cancel? Are there websites that we need to block? Are there relationships that you need to end? Are there people that you need to make right with? Take decisive action to revitalize your devotional life. Reform your family. Restore the prayer meeting. Reform your local church. God promises us that the future of our nation rests in our hands, not in that of the world. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 3. Fear God. When the books of the law were read to King Joshua of Judea, he tore his robes in anguish and exclaimed, "Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us," in 2 Kings 22:30. He called all the elders together to hear the law of God and to repent together for the wickedness that they had allowed to flourish in the land. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 4. The law of God. Like Josiah, we need to take a careful look at the law of God. The Ten Commandments reflect the unchanging character of God. It shows us our responsibilities to God, to our parents, and to our neighbors. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Galatians 3:24. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord. To follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, decrees with all his heart and with all his soul. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant in 2 Kings 23:3. 5. Repentance. Conviction of sin is the first step towards biblical reformation. This includes focusing on the law of God, mourning over our sin, confessing that sin and undertaking whatever steps of restitution or obedience is necessary. God sent a prophet to declare to Josiah in 2 Kings 22:19, "Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I had spoken, I have heard you," declares the Lord. 6. Decisive action. This repentance was then followed by a vigorous action to remove or destroy anything contrary to the law of God, including the pornographic Asherah poles, the Baal altars where babies are sacrificed, the prostitutes and false prophets who had corrupted the people, in 2 Kings 23:4-10. The revival records that Josiah turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. 2 Kings 23:25. Wholehearted repentance and thorough restitution is foundational in preparing for spiritual revival. Return any stolen items. Pay back what you owe. Restore broken relationships. Repair what you damaged. Have the courage to confront sin and thoroughly deal with it. Carefully study the Word of God and seek the Lord earnestly in prayer for guidance as to decisive action that you and I need to take to seek first God's kingdom. Can you not do something more for God? 7. Restitution. If anyone sins is unfaithful to the Lord but deceiving his, or if he cheats himself, or if he finds lost property and lies about it, or if he swears falsely, or if he commits any such sin, he must make restitution in full, Leviticus 6:2-5. Those who claim to want revival but are unwilling to thoroughly repent of every known sin and make full restitution cannot be serious. Revelations 3:19, we are reminded, "Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent." 8. Back to the Bible. Revival is the work of God, but reformation is our responsibility. Frequently in the Bible we see that God responds to consecrated and dedicated believers' sincere attempts to work for biblical reformation by sending out a spiritual revival. Psalm 19 verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, concerting the soul." Our duty is to go back to the Bible for reformation and revival. Praying the Psalms, number 9. To revive our devotional lives, we should start in the Psalms. The Psalms are the biggest book in the Bible, the middle book of the Bible, the prayer book and hymn book of the Bible. It is the most quoted part of the Bible. In the Gospels, our Lord Jesus Christ quoted more from the Psalms than from any other section of the Old Testament. If you want to revive your devotional life, begin praying through the Psalms. We all remember the famous Psalm by David in Psalm 51:10-13. "Creating me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast away from me your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." 10. Seek God wholeheartedly. Joseph Jenkins, a minister in Cardiganshire, had been seeking a deeper devotional life with the Lord and experienced an intense love of God in his life. On the 1st of January 1904, he had a deeper spiritual life convention, encouraging others to seek the fire of the Holy Spirit in their lives. On the 14th of February 1904, at a Sunday school service, a 16-year-old girl, Florrie Evans, stood to her feet and she publicly confessed, "I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart." As she spoke these words, the Holy Spirit seemed to fill the meeting. Many saw this as the beginning of the revival. After church meetings were held to seek the Lord's presence and empowerment, and many young people, particularly girls and women in their teens and early 20s, began spending extended time in intense prayer seeking the Lord's face. On the 29th of September 1904, evangelist Joshua was addressing a convention near Cardigan. Seth had been praying for years that God would raise up a young man from coal mines to be used to inspire revival in Wales. That night he saw his prayers answered. When 26-year-old student Evan Roberts made a heart-rending, "O Lord, bend us," the congregation was so gripped with this prayer that Wales made this prayer the prayer of their hearts. Evan Roberts began to speak of an extraordinary work of God in spiritual revival. He began testifying in his church in Moriah, Logo, that those who were seeking a deeper spiritual life with the Lord should extend him in deeper prayer, extended prayer. At the extraordinary church services after the meetings, prayer meetings, churches were packed and souls were saved and individual lives were transformed. The societies themselves were changed as countless numbers of people came to Christ. It was estimated that 150,000 people came to Christ in Wales in the first 6 months of this move of God. Pubs and bars became empty. Brothels closed. Men and women who used to waste their money getting drunk then began buying clothes and food for their families and supporting their churches and neighbors with what they used to squander in drunkenness and gambling. Theft and other crimes became less frequent. And often a magistrate came to the court and found that there were no cases for him to try. Men who had previously used foul language began to sing God's praises. The pit ponies became confused with the men that had previously cursed and abused them and that were now so kind and clean spoken that they could not understand the orders that were being given. The ponies then had to literally be retrained as they had only been used to cursing and beatings. The dark tunnels underground in the mines echoed with songs of praises, hymns and prayers, instead of crude speech, coarse jokes and gossip. People who were in debt and careless about paying their bills came and made free restitution, paying back all that they owed. Marriages which had been split up and people who had fallen out were reconciled. Wales became a God-fearing nation. Not only were churches filled to overflowing, but the prayer meetings were packed, vibrant and intense as people sought the Lord and pour out their hearts in prayer. We need that, O Lord, in our nation. Keys to revival. Pastors involved in the Welsh revival regularly spoke of four keys to revival. Number one, confess all known sin to God. Receive forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Two, remove anything from your life that you are in doubt or feel unsure about. Three, be totally yielded and obedient to the Holy Spirit. Four, publicly confess the Lord Jesus Christ and share the gospel with your neighbors. Create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your genuine spirit. And then I will teach transgressors your ways, David said, and sinners will be converted to you. Psalm 51, 10 to 13. And in ending, let us pray like Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3, 2. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive the work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. And in wrath, remember mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just pray for a revival in our own hearts, first of all, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will search our hearts with a light, Lord, and cleanse us out, Lord. Help us to put those things out of our lives that displease you, Lord. Help us to make a different 180 degree turn, Lord, and follow you with all our hearts. Help us to repent, Lord, for we don't know how. Help us change our lives, Lord, so that we can change, help others change their lives. We pray for a revival in our nation again, Lord. Let your Spirit move amongst our people, Lord. Change our lives, change our hearts, and change our nations, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.